Good evening. Welcome to the Salieri Report. Questions as of Monday, November 8th. I'm recording on Wednesday, November 10th, and we'll publish on Wednesday, on Thursday, November 11th. And as always, thank you for your questions. I learned so much from you guys. Cash and precious metals. Quick question regarding some gold and silver valuation in the U.S. debt clock. First of all, if you don't know the U.S. debt clock, you ought to check it out. It's a great, wonderful, wonderful resource to help you understand a lot of what's going on inside the going direct reset. Can we discuss the dollar to silver ratio and the dollar to gold ratio? The dollar to silver ratio is 3,000. The dollar to gold ratio is 21,000. I know how it is derived. It is a product of all the debt to the amount of gold or silver, but how does it relate to real life application? It really doesn't. It really doesn't, because if you look at currencies throughout the ages, you know, the valuation even of a gold standard currency comes from the rule of law. And here it's coming from the rule of force. And the question is, how long will that last? But you're really looking at a system which is not run on a gold standard. And it is a little bit of an indication of how bad inflation could get. But I think you have to be careful when you compare it to a fiat currency that has the benefit of being the reserve currency, because there's no doubt that kind of currency has enormous value inflation that comes not from gold or silver or real assets, but from the rule of law. And of course, we know it's deteriorating. Anyway, if you haven't checked out the debt clock, definitely check it out. Hi, Catherine. I've been listening to you for over a year. After getting a bit indoctrinated, I followed your recommendations and put my money in investments with an advisor you interviewed on the Salieri Report, plus 20% precious metals. The investments are primarily... Okay, so I don't make investment recommendations, so I just want to reiterate that again. I'm happy to tell you what I do or what I think about market conditions, but I don't make individual investment recommendations. And the investments are primarily in Fidelity dimensional funds. I'm really feeling like the stock market is nothing more than a Ponzi scheme, and I'm wondering if everything should be in precious metals. I've heard you say that you're still invested in stocks, and wondering if you still think that is the best policy. So I still am invested in stocks, but I'm in a portfolio that is hedged. And so if you look at our equity overview in the third quarter, Jason Worth joined me to go through how the hedge works. And this market is so potentially political and wild, I would not be in an unhedged. I'm comfortable being in it because the individual companies have been screened. I don't own funds. I own individual companies, and they've been screened using my screen. If you read Monte's books that I recommend in Best Books for Investments, what he says as of 2006 is 24% of the asset managers perform at or above the index. And I believe I'm with one of the ones who's in that 24 basket. So between individual companies screened with my screen, a hedged portfolio, because I think we could get enormous downs, and then I've got a great manager. So I'm very comfortable, and the amount I have is small compared to what I've put in my businesses and my people network. I'm a people investor, and I'm an entrepreneur. So I'd much rather build the intelligence network of Salieri than have money elsewhere or people who help me build the intelligence network. There's a very good interview with Stephanie Pomboy that I talk about in Money Markets this week. She was recommended by one of our smartest subscribers, and I think she's really terrific. She's one of the people I listen to about the financial markets. Anyway, if you want to hear a good presentation on why the market is definitely high, that said, if you want to hear the argument that the bull market can continue, I think the Rambus chartology for the third quarter was a great case on the bull, or a great presentation on the bull case. So I'm very comfortable where I am, but there's no doubt I have a lot more money in what I consider to be very real assets. And of course, I do love precious metals. Hi, Catherine. Can you tell me if and how I can use your site for investment information? Again, I don't make investment recommendations, but we do have an equity overview every quarter to take a look at the markets and investment issues. And I would definitely take a look at that. And a lot of times I have a lot of links that relate to different pieces that will help you on the investment side. I have retirement invested funds now and bonds of various kinds. I want to be sure the funds are secure for the future and align with my values in human rights and environmental protection. By the way, I watched As It Is in Heaven on recommendation from your site. Absolutely lovely. I've given it as a Christmas gift and recommended to friends. Oh, I love that movie. Oh, love, love that movie. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Here's the thing. So again, I refrain from investment advice as a matter of law and regulation because as an individual investment advisor, one of the things I've really learned is you really have to know a person well before you can make any give any advice. And I just don't believe in generic advice as in you should do this or that. The one thing I want to say is, again, go back and listen to the last year of equity overviews and look at the links, but that it's very difficult to get a ESG portfolio that reflects human rights and environmental protection. So I do an ESG screen, but it reflects the Solaria values. It's very different than most ESG screens. And you just want to make sure if you look at an ESG portfolio, there's unbelievably wide latitude. So you just want to make sure you get a screen and a philosophy that reflects what you want. And it's very, you know, there's wide differences between what people want. And I find it's very hard to find one that reflects exactly what you want unless you're willing to screen it yourself. COVID-19. Here is a very solid lecture given by Dr. Simone Gold. I love Gold. I think I've never seen a speech she gave that wasn't great. And so thank you for that link. That's a group very much worth supporting. This shocked me. It's about a restaurant keeper that does not want to comply with COVID safe ticket, which is mandatory since beginning this month over. He found a sideway announcing an event with invites where it is allowed to have up to 500 attendees. It's a legal evasion tactic. Read and weep. The following is translated from Dutch. Yep, this is happening all over the world. This is, you know, this is the face of totalitarianism. And that's why the more we can organize and help each other and have the business and the legal and the media strategies coordinated. Is this Dutch or Belgium? I guess this was in Belgium. First, dear Catherine, first let me say you are one of my favorite people to listen to. Your mind is brilliant, your heart more so. Thank you for all you fought for these years. My husband is employed by the university as well as many friends. His husband was at one time the head football coach, thus our university president who sent this letter is a good friend as we've been here for 20 plus years. Joe is well aware of how we feel. I'm going to submit the notice from your site from Children's Health Defense regarding employees. That's great. I would love to submit something saying ivermectin or HCQ taken prophylactically are recognized as vaccines. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know of it, but I'll look. We are in a position, unlike most people, where we don't need my husband to keep his job, and my son already said he'll go to another college. That's fabulous. I mean, I really wouldn't want to work at or go to a college that would do this. I really don't. Could our governor stop this? You have many states trying to stop it, and right now you see Biden asking that all the lawsuits, I'm assuming military as well as states, get rolled up into one. Basically, that's basically the boys making sure they can put it in one place and control it, which is not good. The letter is below and worth noting that our president has a brilliant mind, great heart. His dad was a respected doctor, the old-time kind that made house calls. That's so sad. You know, I'm watching so many people grapple with people they know running companies or universities doing things which are basically genocide. It's unbelievable, and totalitarianism. About 2 weeks ago, I drove from a small Colorado mountain town to Dallas. Prior to leaving Colorado, the chemtrail spraying was enormous. I first drove to Taos, and the spraying there was worse. A few days later, I read that COVID Delta had increased most rapidly in Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. Friends in Vegas report excessive out-of-ordinary spraying in their area about the same time frame. I believe they're expanding their spraying to include either the virus or synergistic element. Odd that the documentary is What in the World Are They Spraying and What in the World Are They Spraying 2010 and 2012, respectively, have not been updated. Could you please discuss the role of chemtrails in the pandemic on Ask Catherine? So this is all part of the great poisoning. And I think the spraying and the injections and the funny business in the food is all part of getting certain things into our body, as well as probably, unfortunately, at this point, it looks like culling the population. Now, John Rappaport, when he went through his 6-part series on the pandemic, described very clearly that they much prefer to falsify pandemics using chemical warfare than biological warfare. So is it possible they're using the spray? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think, you know, it's a much bigger issue. If you haven't gone back and listened to and read the big 2-hour special I did with Clifford Cornicom, where he lays out all of his theories. I think it was 2010 or 2012. I did three on the spraying, and then I did one with Clifford, and or I did two with Clifford, but one was sort of, he goes through all the theories, and it's about 2 hours long. That transcript's about 60 or 70 pages. And it's still the best thing I've ever heard on the spraying. So I would strongly recommend you get it and listen to it, because this is definitely a piece of the puzzle. And again, I call this the great poisoning, because if you look at the spraying, if you look at what they're doing with 5G, if you haven't read Invisible Rainbow, you want to read that piece, because it could be they're getting stuff in our body that then gets excited or triggered by the EMF radiation. Remember, the symptoms of COVID-19 in many places are reported to be remarkably like radiation poisoning. Somebody sent in a digital driver license, the picture, and pointed out that there's a, you know, there are places to click to your health records, your vaccine records, financial reports, credit scores, travel records. See, the whole thing's a control system. It's got nothing to do with health. They say their comment, the new digital driver's license will include your vaccine status, may eventually include your credit score, travel records, and social credit. You'll look at some of these apps and they're planning on at least 8 booster shots. It's really frightening. Anyway, a couple more links with that. Thank you. Exposing the scam that is called a pandemic. So they sent the new interview for Wolfgang Vodark from Planet Lockdown. They just published a new one. Great, great German doctor and politician. Fabulous man. One of the best sources. CHT has been knocking it out of the park. The Jerusalem Report. Wow. Lana Rachel Daniels, who I just love. So somebody pointed out, she mentioned me, quoted me as saying there are things worse than death. She's fabulous. I couldn't agree with her more. But CHD TV is Polly Tommy, and she's doing these shows with Mary, and they're absolutely great. So, you know, I just love their everything they do. So there's a comment in the Twitter user video showing the shifting narrative in vaccine efficacy. I think this is the one that John and I showed. It's 2.5 minutes. If you haven't seen it, it's absolutely hysterical where, you know, they say the vaccine is 100% efficient. Then it's 96, then it's 86, then it's 70, then it's 60, then it's 50, then it's 40, you know, down, 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 down. Oops, you got to get a booster. But you see it, you see all the lies in 2.5 minutes. It's really funny the way they do it. Then somebody sent a reconciliation provisions, draconian social engineering link. Will help to see the big picture, and it's a Forbes magazine showing you Buffett and Bezos. Then Into the Buzzsaw, quite a number of the names on that list was very old or relevant or even passed on. Australia, the list of the 28 pedophile politicians has been released. Every time we start to make real progress on figuring out sort of what's in the injections or what's on the swab in the tests, boom, out comes another little pedophilia scandal to distract everybody. Not to say the pedophilia is not a problem. It is a problem, but it's funny how it gets used. Okay, somebody wanted to post a link to the Wise Traditions Conference for Weston Price in Dallas. Pete Kennedy was there. One of our editors was there. They said it was absolutely wonderful. And it was great because you had the Weston Price and the Children's Health Defense people all together. So we were able, we sent them books and wrap-ups. And Pete sold a whole bunch of them to raise money for Weston Price, who was getting a match on all the donations. So I think they were able to do something very successful. And I want to just acknowledge Pete and our team for their efforts to support them. Somebody sent a link from Dr. Igor Shepherd. COVID is a global military operation. We're facing genetic genocide. We're also just facing genocide. And if you look at what's going on with VAERS data and the other adverse event data around the world, it's beginning to look pretty dire. And one of the things that's happening is the injections are causing immunosuppression. And so a lot of people don't realize that what is happening to them is just a result of the injections. But I just saw one report from Mercola this morning that says the death rate among the vaccinated is now 6 times higher than the unvaccinated. And that's interesting because it fits with approximately what I'm watching. Just watching lots of people who got vaccinated suddenly having very serious health problems. And then another link to the VAERS data shows 100% of reported vaccine deaths were caused by just 5% of the batches. John Titus and I covered that extensively last week. And Carl Denninger had a very good report. And this is clearly very serious and couldn't be happening without an intentional action. So I think the evidence is accumulating for a serious case for a culling of the population and genocide. Hi, Catherine. This appeared in the Wall Street Journal on November 1st. Given the huge role they want to play in the post-vaccine passport world and the authors, I thought it worth sharing. Oh, this looks gruesome. I have to read this. The Challenge of Being Human in the Age of AI by Henry Kissinger, Eric Schmidt, and Daniel Huttenlocher. Oh, God. Reason is our primary means of understanding the world. How does that change if machines think? Really? How does it change if you're being drowned and your neighbors and your kids with entrainment technology and subliminal programming and mind control? You know, these guys are just, you know, they're breathing their own air. I mean, they've literally gone insane. Dear Catherine, it was reported when Ollie Stone's JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass was debuted in Cannes that no American distributor would pick it up and that the film would be distributed in Europe. I tracked down Altitude, who has been posting under Coming Soon. Any chance you've seen the film? No. I have it on my list. Altitude says it's available November 26th. I very much want to watch this. I think I really appreciate Stone's work, and I am really looking forward to this one because what has come out since he did the last one on JFK, what has come out, there's a tremendous amount of information has come out. Okay, let's turn to shadow work and take action. Important news on Canadian resistance. Thousands of Canadian aviation professionals join Hub for Pilots and Passengers against mandatory vaccine. That is great news. Thank you for posting that. Catherine, I have a son considering entering the trades. Does anyone have any recommendations on getting a real-world business education outside of college for running your own small business? Resources, books, etc. This is a great question. I did long ago in the library, I did an interview on venture capital for the rest of us, and I would take a look at that. One of the things I can't say enough is it really helps to understand accounting very, very, very well. So one of the things I would do is I would learn accounting backwards and forward, and I would learn taxes for your jurisdictions backwards and forwards. Jason Bawden-Smith has a great book called Making Waves about entrepreneurship. I would recommend that. So I'll do some thinking about what kind of curriculum I would put together. He really needs to know how to do an audio, do a video, write a business letter. Communication is very important, and you need to be able to do it in all mediums, audio, video, and written. So accounting, tax, communication. I'll tell you, one of the things that helped me the most is sort of reading the stories of people who had failed and people who've been successful, you know, sort of best practices, lesson learned. But check out that venture capital, the Leary Report. It's an old one, but it's a good one. It's the guest is named Peter. Just do venture capital and Peter in the library and you'll find it. Hi, Catherine. A friend of mine shared this on YouTube. They want to put the keys to encryption into the hands of the user. I talked about this one last week. This is somebody who's offering encryption. They're complete strangers. I have no way to do diligence, something like that. I would be very careful. I mean, you got to be really careful. Somebody sent this in. This is beautiful. Very, you could say it's very trite, but it's dead on point. It's got a picture of a COVID-19 injection. It says, first they came for the old and frail, but I did not speak out because I was healthy. Then they came for the shopkeepers and publicans, but I did not speak out because I used Amazon. Then they came for the churches, but I did not speak out because they capitulated. Then they came for the healthy, but I did not speak out because it was safe and effective. Then they came for the children, but I did not speak out because they were spreaders. Then they came for the unvaccinated, but I did not speak out because they were dangerous. Then they came for my home, my car, my savings, and there was no one left to speak for me. You got it. That's what it's about. They want your car. They want your property. They want your savings. That's it. Brilliant. Hi, Catherine. I've heard you refer several times to your top states. I think I wrote them down from NAS Catherine just a few weeks ago. My wife and I are looking at the opportunities and where might be good jurisdictions to move to either permanently or temporarily in the U.S. Could you describe your method of analysis to pick out the best states and jurisdictions? I've heard you refer to state debt, and there are obviously the passports, but what else? I would look at state debt per capita. I would look at the funding of their pension funds. I would look at what the litigation has been on passports and what their record is to avoid draconian COVID-19 lockdowns. I would look very hard at what the state legislature has supported in terms of free speech, in terms of property rights, and in terms of the Second Amendment, particularly the Second Amendment. And I would look at how strong their sheriff's association are and how constitutional the sheriffs are. and whether, you know, another thing I look at is commitment to sort of religious practice, because you'll find those groups tend to be more supportive of First and Second and other amendments, although it's, you have to be careful to not completely generalize. So the states I like, we also did we posted in News Trends and Stories a couple weeks ago, an article by somebody who'd done a complete scan on the different laws related to masks and related to injections, et cetera, et cetera. And you might find that was a good one and had some surprises in it. The states I tend to like are the Dakotas, so South and North Dakota. I like Tennessee. I would say one of the reasons I like those are lots of small banks. Hopefully they can push back against the Fed trying to destroy the banks. I have liked Utah, but if you look at some of their recent actions on the mandates, it's, you know, I have questions there. I like Idaho. I like Texas. But in Texas, you know, you got a real big state, so you have to sort of, you know, sort of pick your county. And then Florida has done exceptionally well, you know, and I almost wonder if the extraordinary amount of organized crime money is that they're protecting things at street level. They know this is bad for business and they're trying to keep some local power. Anyway, so Florida may also make it, but those are the ones traditionally I've liked. But feel free to ask more questions. It gets to be a very complex equation because it's real important to be where there's food and water and like-minded people. So you're usually looking for a cluster, and you're a lot better off if they're people you know. Okay, not that many questions this week. We had a boatload last week. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your questions. And I'm headed to Switzerland and Italy this both Friday and Saturday. Switzerland has a big referendum on November 28th, so a lot of people are meeting, and Bobby Kennedy and Mary Holland are coming to give speeches in Bern and Milano, and I'm going to join them. And I'm really looking forward. We have a great meeting of the Swiss subscribers this weekend, and thank you to the Swiss subscribers. Done a wonderful job to bring that together. If you haven't hooked up with connect.solari.com to find your circle, I think we're up to 40 groups and growing quickly all over the world. It's a good time to connect in with people in your place. And I feel it's much more important to get together in person. But one of the things my team finally persuaded, we've been trying to get people together for years, and we finally realized, okay, you know, we need the software to find each other and sort of organize so we can get together. But the more you can get together in private off technology, the better. Okay, well, that's it. Again, remember, if you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.